This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Jeff Hathorn joined by The Athletic's Mark Caballi. You got nothing else going on. You're waiting for training camp to start.
Never waiting for training camp to start, Jeff. You can't wait till it ends. I don't think I've ever waited for it to start.
But you're a baseball guy. Like, you were playing growing up.
Oh, yeah. I love baseball. One of these days it will return to Pittsburgh. No, I mean, seriously, I mean, baseball is really, you know, it's a one of my loves. You know, you love to watch baseball, love to play baseball. And I agree what everybody says is if this team ever gets into the playoffs again, this city will go crazy. They're just looking for a winner, looking for something to cheer for.
All right, before we get into the team itself, I mean, you could be skeptical.
I thought you were going to talk about the Portview Bulldogs 8-under championship, but go ahead.
Yeah, we've heard a lot about that on social media. Paul Skenes, what do you think when you watch him pitch?
Wow, right? I mean, it's more than – I mean, we like to tend to focus a lot on the 99, 100, you know, seven straight pitches of 100, the most – consecutive 100 miles per hour fastballs, but the other stuff, the able to pitch, to be able to use that slider, and I hate to use the word splinker because it drives me nuts when I hear it 175 times every broadcast, but that splitter slash sinker pitch, I think he's well more advanced than we gave him credit for of being a pitcher and just not a thrower. I think that's where it comes in right now. And he's very rarely phased either, it seems like. He can come up there and he can walk three guys in a row hypothetically, then you have a good feeling that he's going to get out of it. So I think he's very much mature for his age. I don't know if that came from his time in Air Force, his time pitching in the College World Series or whatever it is, but that's what I noticed from him. More than just the fastball, because we knew that fastball was there. Jeff, when they last year at this time, it was like, oh, this guy can throw 102. We know that, and we're fascinated by that. But the other pitches and the command of those pitches so far have been really impressive to me.
Yeah, and I think you hit on it, because there are guys that can throw 100 miles an hour that are not effective, that do get hit.
Who pitched in the ninth inning yesterday? Yes, you have to get the ball over the plate.
If you don't get the ball over the plate, if you don't adjust, if you don't know when, hey, if the fastball isn't working, I got to go to the slider. I got to go to the splinker. I got to go to changeup. I've got to figure out a way to have something else to be able to go to when the fastball isn't there. And I think that is what separates the Skenes from other guys that just throw hard. And that's why – and his ability to make those adjustments and not just get bullheaded of like, oh, I'm just going to throw at 100. No, I need to be able to – do this or execute this pitch or study guys I'm going up against. All of that is shouldn't be lessened in what he's done, because it is more than just a guy who can throw out 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, you look the past couple of starts. I mean, he's given up first inning home runs, and it's not affected him at all. I mean, he's pretty much pitched better from that point forward, where, you know, a younger player, a rookie, you're, who had, what, 25 innings pitched in AAA or whatever it was, you think he'd be more affected by that. I don't know if it's the scouting report that they give him, if it's Grandal or whoever it is, but knowing what the pitch and where is just has been more impressive than anything else to me. And he's just his maturity level, too. I mean, the guy seems like the real deal. He seems, I mean, you know him more. I mean, you've interacted with him. He seems like he's down to earth, too, a grounded individual, when he very well, I mean, we've seen many athletes get early success turned into you know what's, and he doesn't seem like that type of guy. So, I mean, he's everything what he was, you know, presented to us and more so far. So, I don't think you could really expect more from him.
I will say, and this is an unfair comparison, and this comparison gets made all the time, but I'll make it anyway. He reminds me of Crosby, and the Sidney Crosby, and the, like, the focus that he has, the attention to detail that he has, how he goes through his routines even on off days, of doing what he needs to do to put himself in the right position to be really good. And I think that focus does come from his family. It comes from his coaches that he's had to this point, and obviously it comes internal.
You know, another tough thing is, too, is he's probably had a couple no decisions that he should have won. And that doesn't – I mean, I know he's young and he probably shouldn't say anything, but that would have to be getting frustrating after a while. You come out after pitching, giving up two hits over six innings, and it's and you end up turning over to the bullpen, you end up losing. You're like, oh, my goodness, what is going on here? You have to think that, but he doesn't – doesn't outwardly show that emotion. So, I mean, unless something crazy happens, this guy is a star. You know how everybody always says after, like, you know, seven or eight starts of somebody or a couple, a year of, you know, sign him to an extension. Hey, sign Skeens to an extension. I think, barring an injury, I think this guy is a guy that's going to be around, you know, 14, 15 years and be a guy that's going to be something to deal with for a while now. So, you know, like I said, I mean, look at the other option they had last year in the first round. I think they picked correctly right now. It's early.
Oh, can you imagine, Mark, and Jeff Hathor, Mark Caballa here on the Fan Morning Show, brought to you by Guardian Protection. If they would have made another selection, they would have picked one of those position players, mm-hmm. and Paul Skeens were killing it with somebody else. And in the All-Star game, I mean, think about what that reaction would be here. I mean, think of how people were bent out of shape. And I think you have to give some credit to how the Pirates handled this. It seems like they have handled it very well. You know, he pitched a couple of games in the minors, just a few innings at the end of last year after a long college season, obviously winning the national championship. And then this year to start in AAA, as much as it was an issue for people, it seems like whatever it was, he has been on the perfect path because he has not had a real hiccup. He's had, you know, he's given up some home runs. He's given up some runs. He's been in some situations he had to work himself out of. But how they handled it, when you look at the results, the Pirates handled it well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and rip on the Pirates how they handled him because it's working. But he seems like a guy that was pretty ready-made, man. You could have did anything with him. You could have brought him up in April, and he could have been doing the very same thing.
But when you look at workload over the course of a season, like, if he would have come up here and started and just thrown a couple of innings, like, I think it has. I mean, like I said, the results show it, that he is where he is and should start, in my opinion, the All-Star game. That's the fan Twitter poll right now. You could go to X and vote. What are your thoughts on that? Should he start the All-Star game?
I go to Twitter, but okay. I would start him. I would start him just for the, you know, the circus that could provide the Major League Baseball and the Pirates. You know, everybody wants to see Paul Skeens. I mean, there's only a handful of people. Everybody, if you're a baseball guy, you know who Paul Skeens is, right? But not many of you have been able to see him. Not too many Pirate games are on ESPN Sunday night baseball. Isn't it the Yankees and Red Sox every single week or something like that?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Yeah, so, I mean, people would like to see him. People would like to see – I mean, I know I would. I mean, All-Star game to me gets a little bit boring after a while. But if I know that Skeens is pitching and he has a possibility of facing guys like, you know, Judge and Soto and so on and so forth, who doesn't want to see that, right? I mean, honestly, if – depends on how that lineup goes, too. I mean, I know you can't do that, but if somebody like Judge and Soto are batting fourth and fifth or fifth and sixth, maybe I don't start him because I want to see him to go there. But you can't do that, of course. But I think it's in the best interest of the league, the Pirates, the All-Star game, to have your best young superstar who can throw 100, 102 to pitch. I mean, I don't know how it's going to work out. I mean, is that his,
yeah,
is that his work day? I don't know. I mean, unless we're doing – I mean, what are we looking at? They play all seven games this week?
Yeah, so he'd have another start. And then it would be – yeah, I mean, it kind of fits.
It fits. Go with it. I mean, I'm not too up with my National League pitching starting rotations of who's going to be available
Chris Sales
or not.
Had a really good year. There's some other guys you could
we might have to go to Harry Callis on that one, but if it all lines up, yeah, I mean, that seems like a no-brainer to me.
I would love the idea of, to your point, like Judge is hitting fourth, Soto's hitting fifth. Skeens walks up there. Altuve comes up. Intentional walk. Yep. Intentional walk the next guy. So I have to face these guys with runners in scoring position. Here's the thing. They don't have that crazy thing where the winner of the All-Star game determines home field for the World Series anymore. It's an exhibition game. They've come to the realization that it's an exhibition game, rightfully so. And more eyes would be on this thing with Paul Skeens than anyone else starting. And on social media with Livy and on all of her hype.
Have her play in the softball game.
Absolutely.
The day before. Yeah. Now, I think I remember an All-Star game in the mid-80s. I think it was in Houston. I'm not quite sure. I think Clemens was pitching, and he, like, struck out first three batters in, like, 9-10 pitches, and it was, like, amazing. And he was only throwing at the time probably 93-94. That reminds me, I mean, how many years does that go? I mean, that's 40 years later. I'm still remembering that. Imagine a guy throwing 102, striking up, you know, the heart of the American League lineup. I mean, that's something that people will remember forever.
Oh.
At least I would.
I mean, I'm trying to think of the Red Sox pitcher, the skinny Red Sox pitcher.
Oil Cam Boyd?
No. Pedro Martinez.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think he struck out like five in a row in an All-Star game. Like, he went up and he was like mowing down the National League.
I also remember in one of those All-Star games.
He started in 99.
Is that the time? And he just like mowed down the entire National League line.
Yeah, he was pitching at Fenway Park too that year. That was when they introduced Ted Williams to everybody.
Yeah, didn't they do that? Didn't they bring off all the future, what was it, 100, all 75 team, all 100, whatever it was.
The Futures game?
No. I'm talking about that 99 All-Star game. When they did bring out Ted Williams, they brought out all the stars. Was that the infamous Pete Rose one, too? Where is it Jim Gray asked him about his...
Ugh.
Maybe I'm messing things up here. Or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But, you know, I remember this 80-whatever All-Star game when the announcers were going nuts because the pitcher threw, like, seven straight pitches of 90-plus mile an hour. How far have we come in 30 or 40 years when if you don't even touch 95, you're probably not going to be very good in this league now?
Well, think about it. With Clase, with Miller, with Skeens, I mean, 100 miles an hour is going to be the average in this game. It's crazy how fast these guys.
Mason Miller, man, he has a lot of local ties here.
It's awesome for him.
He played at Gardner-Webb, who is coached by Jim Chester, who went to Sarah Catholic and who coached at Penn State McKeesport. Look at that. Six people removed from Mason Miller.
You know who his teammate was in college, right?
Hopefully it was not Harry Callis.
It was. I played with him for a couple years.
Who was better?
Oh, me or him? Yeah. Come on now. What are we doing here? Yeah,
you ever hit against him?
Yeah.
Was he wasn't throwing. What was he?
He was throwing about 93 when I was. with him.
You take him yard?
I did not take him yard. I faced him one time, and his slider is very deceptive, and I got beat on that. He threw me a slider low that I swung and missed at. I fouled off a fastball high, and then he struck me out with another fastball.
If anybody's out there listening, can we somehow get video of this? Mason Miller.
I don't think there's any video. It was a full game. No.
Somebody with a camera phone.
I'm sure we can ask.
Mason Miller striking out.
I mean, if any of the players. The only people that were there were the players because it was an inter-squad game, like practice after classes. So if anybody would have their phone out, they might have gotten in trouble. So, I mean, it's rare.
By the way,
I also caught his bullpens, too, because I was a catcher my first year. So I caught, I think, three of his bullpens.
And?
He throws hard. He threw hard, and I can only imagine what it's like now. Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising that he's there now.
Mason Miller, an all-star, and Harry Callis, an all-star producer that can't eat more than four hot dogs.
I had five.
I heard that
quarter pounders.
I heard that you choked that away there, Harry.
I did. I ate 4 and 3.5 minutes, and then, yeah, that was that.
Right now, the poll on should Paul Skenes start the All-Star game, 77% say absolutely.
I'm surprised that the 23% are undecided or say no.
Well, that's people that have in New York that have found out or in Atlanta that have found out and are just hitting no, 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 no as much as possible.
Yeah, sometimes I just hit no on there just to be an idiot too. So
I'm not shocked.
That's not shocking
at all.
Don't
tell me that anybody out there doesn't do the same thing. Whenever Pony or Mueller puts up a poll, you hit the opposite of what they want you to say.
See, but when everybody thinks like that, then we have people to do the stupid votes. So there you go. Yeah.
All right, coming up, let's get reaction to the last few games the Pirates have played. As the Buccos will play 12:35 this afternoon. Mitch Keller starts for the Pirates against the Mets. 11:40 will be the North Shore Tavern leadoff show with Paul Alexander over on our sister station, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA. So we'll get into those thoughts as we continue. A reminder, don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there is never a fee unless we get money for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
HM3 Partners Independence Fund presents Celebrity Care Fest, benefiting UPMC Children's Hospital Foundation. Two nights of star-studded entertainment, July 26th and 27th. Pat Benatar.
Ooh.
Neil Girardo. Smokey Robinson. And a superstar artist so big we can't say it on the air. But you can learn who at hm3.org. Tickets on sale at hm3.org. That's a cool event, Mark. You ever been to that one of those concerts?
Maps.
HM3 concerts?
I don't go to many concerts anymore.
What?
I went to Metallica maybe 2 years ago.
And?
Oh, it's tremendous. That and I forget who they were with.
What did they encore with?
Man, I can't remember what I had for dinner yesterday. You're asking me what they did 2 years ago. I'm not quite sure, but it was a great show. Great show at PNC Park. But before that, man, you have to go back to like the 90s when I was listening to like skater music of CKY and stuff. The last concert I went to. So,
jeez.
I don't do much.
Jeez. Mark Caballi with us, Jeff Hathorn for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson here on the Fan Morning Show with Nicholas Harry Callis. Some breaking-ish news from your buddy and colleague Rob Rossi of The Athletic.
Robert Rossi.
He reports that the team and player are confident, and we're talking about the Pens and Sidney Crosby, the team and player are confident a deal will be agreed upon and formalized soon, sources told him.
Wow. Of course. Right? Can you see Sidney Crosby going somewhere else?
No.
No. I mean, sources, it's sort of like they already know that he's going to sign. It's just a matter of when they're going to announce it. And we were making light of this yesterday on the Pomp Show. He'll probably announce it on August 7th because he's so crazy about his 8 and his 7. His number 87. He was born on 8-7. He gets $8.7 million. You think he's going to get $8.7 million again?
He might. It's worked for him at this point.
Well, that's sort of cheap right now. I mean, hockey standards.
But how much has he made?
I don't know how much he makes outside of it. I mean, I'm guessing he...
I don't see him as a guy that has to make... If he was a guy that had to make the most money or had to be regarded in that way, he probably still wouldn't be here.
Yeah, I think he has some deals in Canada with, like, the donut shop up there. What was it called? I want to say Ethan Horton, but that's not
Tim his. Hortons.
Tim Hortons, that's it. Tim Hortons and stuff like that. So, he's with paying his bills shop. Okay, but he could probably get more than $8.7 million somewhere
else. Yeah, probably a pizza place and, you know, some of those Nova Scotia restaurants. Yeah, he's doing okay.
Yeah, come on. If it was up to me, and obviously, I mean, this isn't breaking news, but if you have to get rid of everybody else, Sidney Crosby's going to remain on this team, right? And should be.
Right. Do you look at a player differently that leaves at the end of his career?
Ooh, depends. We're talking about, you know, the Joe Namath and the Franco Harris and the Mike Webster type guys.
Well, I mean, Franco was cut, so that's
well, Franco,
a
I think,
different.
Wanted money, so they told him to, I believe. But are we talking about a guy that's just like, well, you know, Emmanuel Sanders?
Well, I mean, has a lot we're left talking about it. Somebody who has some
just holding on for
more,
a year.
More like Namath, you know, deciding like, hey, I could still play. I'm going to go somewhere else. Joe Montana.
Yeah. Well, Montana had a good year in Kansas City, right? A year or two. Probably should have made.
But do you look differently on him because he went to Kansas City?
I don't see Joe Montana as a Kansas City Chief. When I think of Joe Montana, I think of him as a 49er, even if they do leave. You know, I'll give you a prime example coming back to what we do is with football. When James Harrison left, I thought how he left and where he went to with both Cincinnati and New England was going to tarnish his reputation here forever, and that obviously didn't happen. So I think time heals a lot, and I think regardless of going anywhere, you say Crosby does go play in Ottawa, Montreal, wherever, for a year or two, I think he would always be remembered as. I don't think people would look down on that.
All right, well,
over time.
We'll get back into some Pirates talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how much at T-Mobile.com/switch. So we'll get back into the Bucks as we continue. Jeff Hathorn, Mark Caballi for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson here on the Fan Morning Show. Fan Morning Show, Jeff Hathorn, Mark Cabali from The Athletic here for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson with Nicholas Harry-Callis. Pirates dealing with some injuries, most notably to their rotation. Started with Jared Jones with the lat injury that at first didn't seem like it was going to be that bad. And not only was he put on the 15-day injured list, but also dealing with not throwing for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then, as Ben Cherington said yesterday, it's more about weeks than days. So if he's not throwing for a couple of weeks, let's just say it's just a couple of weeks, and then he starts throwing again, he's going to have to ramp his way up. I mean, July's out, and you have to wonder at what point in August that he might be available. Where's this team going to be at this point? I mean, that's a big loss for them.
Yeah. That seems like an injury that you can aggravate that really quickly,
yeah.
Especially a guy, he's not very big.
And, right? Well, he throws with a lot of torque.
And he throws, and that's where you got to be, you know how it is with hamstrings and stuff of that ilk, that if you're not 100%, man, you could pop that sucker real quick. And especially with him, and like you said, how hard he throws and how much he puts behind it and not being a big guy, is if that sucker's not 100%, you can be right back where you started from. So I would imagine they would be a little bit cautious with him. But, hey, I mean, it happened at a time where you got the All-Star break coming up, so it might help a little bit. But, I mean, it depends on how long Falter's out, right? I mean, all of a sudden your pitching staff is – I mean, unless you're getting starts like this from Ortiz every single week,
well,
which I don't
Ortiz,
know if you can count on that.
Last 12 innings, no walks,
yeah.
And he's been really good. And that's been his thing. When he came up and everybody's like, oh, Ortiz. Ortiz was the talk 2 years ago of being the potential ace.
Him and
Roansy.
But
Ortiz was the guy. Look at that stuff, man. Ortiz, man, he's going to be awesome. But he threw last year, if I'm remembering right, I think it was 59 strikeouts to 48 walks. Man, a 1-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio is not going to work in Major League Baseball or in any form of baseball, even with your son's team.
Yeah, it's coach pitch, so. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. You know, I think it's time now is Quinn Priester's going to have to show that where he was drafted at was worthy. I mean, he's going to have to step up his game if this continues to if Falter's out. If Jones is out for an extended period of time, I mean, who else you go to? I mean, you probably give Priester another shot, don't you?
Yes, yes. And to be quick on Bailey Falter, his diagnosis is left tendonitis, triceps tendonitis, which left obviously is his throwing arm. They don't expect him to be out as long. Maybe he was just going to have a start between now and the All-Star mm-hmm. break, so it may turn out that he'll be back pitching in July. It won't be as big of a deal, hopefully, for Bailey Falter. And then Henry Davis is off the injured list for his because of his concussion, but he's going to remain at AAA. And I think that's the right move. Let him consistently show that the bat is where it needs to be, as opposed to having him come up here, start sporadically. Cherington took a lot of heat when he used the phrase, well, you know, we really believe in Yasmani Grandal and Joey Barton. We like the two catchers that we have right now. I think it's more about getting him straight, because there's no doubt that Henry Davis has to be a part of their future offensively.
He has 300 career at-bats.
But that's the guy they're counting on
he needs,
to be a part.
He needs at-bats. If it's a Triple-A level, if it's in a Major League level. And if I'm anybody associated with the Pirates, I don't really care about his fielding right this moment. We'll figure that out. If it's DH, if it's right field, if it's catcher, we need you to hit the ball like we saw you hit in college and why we took you 1-1. Figure it out, then we'll move on from there. But 300 at bats, you can't make a decision on anybody. Look at a guy like Cruz. He has one season of at bats under his belt. He has like 179 games. Was he have like 600-700 at bats in his career? That's not much. You need at bats in Major League Baseball, And Henry Davis needs at bats wherever he is.
To finish the injury news, Ryan Borecki, the left-hander reliever, who is someone who really came on the scene, what a find he was for the Pirates last year. He has been throwing well in AAA, but he's going to continue down there at this point. They want to get at least one more appearance for him down there before they consider him. And David Bednar, Pirates closer, been nice to have had him yesterday.
Yes, it would have. It would have.
Bednar threw on Saturday a live bullpen session, and he is going to go down to AAA in the next couple of days and start a rehab assignment, hopefully be ready after the All-Star break.
Never knew a closer can have a rehab assignment. You just go and throw him out there for an inning regardless of the situation? Or
It was interesting to watch live BP. It's like, don't film this because people aren't really supposed to see it, but it's like Bednar got in there and he may or may not have like hit a batter who's out there just kind of helping out.
Allegedly.
Like, hey, I'm going to help out. I'll stand in the box for you. You know, live BP, I'll take a couple of swings and then you get plunked. But everything was, he looked good in that session and he will be down in the minors starting a rehab pretty soon. This injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Injuries playing a part. To your point earlier, Mark, I think Priester gets a shot. Here's the only thing. If you stick with Ortiz, you work the rotation as it is. Do you just bring up Marco Gonzalez? He pitched the same day as Bailey Falter on Saturday. You bring him up and just put him back in the rotation, even though his last outing, giving up four runs and four innings with like four walks, isn't exactly something that gives you confidence.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they have anybody in AAA that would give you a ton of confidence, but either one. I mean, I would like to see Priester up here. I mean, he's a guy that hasn't had a ton of success in this level. I mean, he's been decent in AAA, I guess, but, I mean, if you're going to invest, if you're going to make a decision on him long-term coming up here in the next, whenever it is, a year or so, you want to know if he's going to be the guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean,
at least if he's middle, you can move him to middle, wherever you can put him at. Let's see if he has starter capabilities.
He's shown some flashes, and you never know when these guys lock in. Maybe Luis Ortiz, who went to the bullpen, accepted it, worked on some things, and he's gotten another opportunity, and he's taken advantage of it.
Trevor Bauer.
Coming up, a special golf rewind. We'll discuss a local event coming up in a couple of weeks, a national event. Here in Pittsburgh, as we continue. Jeff Hathorn, Mark Caboli, for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson. It is the Fan Morning Show on this Monday morning. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Golf Rewind brought to you by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. If you're not getting fit outside, you're not getting fit. Davis Thompson, a first-time winner on the PGA Tour. He won the John Deere Classic at 28 under, which set a tournament record. He is the 24th first-time winner of that tournament. Hayden Springer had the 59 in the first round, finished tied for 7th at 21 under. Brendan Todd was 20 under. Speaking of locals, coming up August 1st through 4th is the U.S. Senior Women's Open Championship at Fox Chapel Golf Club. Joining us is the assistant director of the event, Catherine Corey. And Catherine, we're closing in just a few weeks away now. What could fans expect that go out to see that national championship here in a couple of weeks?
Yes, it is. It's coming up fast. We are so looking forward to being back in the Pittsburgh area with our great relationship with the USGA and a great relationship with the Pittsburgh, and really excited to be back at Fox Chapel. So the championship is, like you said, August 1 through 4, and we're looking forward to welcoming 120 female players ages 50 and older. Some of those notables would be Jill McGill, Annika Sorenstam, Laura Davies, Julie Inkster. So really some of your famous female players who have been around for a long time, they're coming back to compete in this championship.
So a lot of the ones that were at the U.S. Women's Open at Oakmont. So if you watch them there, you might get a chance to see them at Fox Chapel for some of them.
You will. That's right. Yes, yeah, several in the field were there in 2010 when the Women's Open was played at Oakmont. So I know the ladies are very much looking forward to being back in Western Pennsylvania.
What we hear so much, and we think of, you know, U.S. Open conditions, what are conditions going to be like at Fox Chapel? What will the course setup be like?
It's going to be tough but fair. It is a true USGA championship where we want all the players to use, you know, as we like to say, every club in their bag. We want to challenge them, but we want to be fair. And I think Fox Chapel sets up as a great golf course for that. We're really looking forward to seeing how it's going to play for this championship.
And I know there's opportunities to volunteer. There are gallery tickets. There's pavilion tickets. And really, you could get up close and personal and see some good golf.
You really can. So we do still have volunteer opportunities available, ranging anywhere from working at our admissions and information services in our volunteer program to being a marshal on the golf course. So those opportunities are still open for registration. And then we do, as you mentioned, we have gallery tickets, which are, you know, they run about $16, gains you access to the golf course. We also have our new ticket this year. It's going to be the Pittsburgh Pavilion. So it's an upgraded ticket, about $32, gains you access to a facility out on the golf course that's got food and beverage for purchase, but also has kind of an open-air sports bar feel. You've got a great view of golf out there. So really kind of an elevated experience as a fan. But I do think that one of the coolest things is, not that we don't offer this at any of our other open championships, but you can actually walk the golf course with the players. So we only rope the tees and the greens at the Senior Women's Open. So you can actually walk behind them in the fairway, which just kind of provides that up close and personal, as you mentioned, opportunity. Yeah, very cool opportunity.
And I find with some of the older players that they appreciate the opportunity more and they're more interactive with fans. Not that the younger players aren't, but I think there's a lot more interaction than you see with some tournaments.
There's very much more interaction. You have to remember when, you know, this group of players, when they were on the LPGA Tour, you know, they were really out there mixing and mingling with fans and really wanting to have those connections with fans. And they have not lost that spark by any means. So they are one of my favorite group of players. They love to talk with fans, interact with fans, really put on a show, if you will. They are still here to compete for a national championship, and they're here to win. But they understand that fans are what grows this game, and they want to be sure that they keep people coming back. So they love to get up close and personal and interact with fans.
Catherine, thanks so much for your time this morning. You can check it out at championships.usga.org/USSeniorWomen'sOpen.com to find out more information. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, Catherine.
That sounds great. We'll see you soon.
All right, Catherine Corey from the USGA. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 91 today. But no rain. So if you want to go check out the Pirates game this afternoon, it might be a bit warm. Tomorrow, high of 93. We are in a warm stretch that Mark Caboli is convinced will end before the Steelers go to training camp.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.